trouble, trouble, trouble. We can find it anywhere. We can find it everywhere. Trouble, trouble, trouble. When I say trouble in your minds, I'm sure you're thinking of trouble. And it can be so consuming, the trouble and tribulations of our world. Now, we have to admit there is trouble. Absolutely, there is, isn't there? We don't live in this box or with these blinders on and miss, ignore, pretend that there is not trouble and tribulation. And of course, as we think of trouble and trouble and more trouble, we begin to think of how we and other people respond to trouble. 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 This is so readily apparent as I think of our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. We know what's going on over there. We're watching it happen on live TV. Wars now, right in our home living, in our living rooms. We watch them. Our children are watching them happen. We're watching buildings blown up, and it's not a cartoon anymore. This is where people live. I don't know if you caught that one news clip where there was a woman cleaning up her apartment after the windows and things had been shattered, and she's singing her national anthem through tears. You know, as a pastor, one of the things that I wrestle with on a regular basis is to what degree do I speak and acknowledge current events? Because you could fill the pulpit every single Sunday with just current events, and that is not what this pulpit is about, just giving a report on what's happening in the world. But there are certain things and certain times that we do need help. We need to hear from God. We need His truth to guide us and to help us navigate and how to think. And how do I talk to my children about what they're seeing happening on the other side of the world, but very likely it could spread? What do we say when we're watching people displaced? And what do we say when we're watching seemingly this man just seek to overcome an entire nation? And why? 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 There are hurting people in the world today, and it's not just in Ukraine. There are people afraid of what's going to happen in their life at a meeting this week or with their job or the next time they see this person or that person. What's it going to be like? Trouble. 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 It's everywhere. Last evening, I was tucking my boys into bed and they asked me for a story. And I like to tell stories from a first-person perspective. And then at the end of the story, I say, so who am I? All right, so I kind of engage them into the story, and then I want them to figure out, who am I? And so last evening, I told them a story. And who was I last night, guys? Remember? I was the Apostle Paul. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 16, if you will, please. Acts chapter 16. The Apostle Paul and Silas are on the second missionary journey. They have been led of the Lord, and I say that very clearly. Paul had a vision from the Lord that there was a man who called unto them, come unto Macedonia and help us. And so Paul, understanding the leading and the call of the Lord, he went to Philippi. Now, in Philippi, it seems as if there was a very small, little to no, population of Jews. Paul doesn't go to a synagogue in this place. it does seem like there was some Jewish influence because he found out that on the Sabbath day, a group of God-fearing women gathered together on the riverside. And they gather on the riverside that they might pray. When you see this term God-fearing in the context like this, it is often speaking of people who have come to recognize the God of Judaism, Jehovah God, and they have a fear of him from the Old Testament scriptures. And when I say a fear of them, of him, that speaks of a respect, of an acknowledgement of his greatness and of his power. And so they gather on the riverside to pray. Paul joins them, and he speaks the word of the Lord to them, and Lydia comes to faith and her household. This is now the home of the base of operation for Paul and Silas in this place called Philippi. As they minister there, picking up in verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, and the we there is the Apostle Paul and Silas, and Luke is also included here. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, young lady, a girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So in other words, she would speak oracles and prophecies seemingly from God. And it brought these men who had control over her much gain. And the same followed, verse 17, followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he, that is the Spirit, came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Trouble. I mean, here Paul has been called to go to Philippi, come and help us. He comes, he finds Lydia, he's got a place, God is at work. This young girl's following them around, badgering them, but yet saying, identifying who they are. These are servants of the Most High God. They've come to tell us about salvation. And Paul, recognizing this is a voice of a demon, and he commands it, and it's cast out. And in so doing, instead of getting a thank you, the people gather around him, grab a hold of he and Silas, take him to the judge, and they are severely beaten, thrown into prison, and their feet in stocks. Trouble. Trouble. Problems, tribulations. So what would you do? You know, what happens when we get into trouble? When we find ourselves looking up and saying, "Why am I here?" We look around and say, "Why are they after me? What have I done? Woe is me." And you get this whoo spiraling down. I've been there. Have you been there? Right? You just begin to get so caught up in me, you right? And it's so easy to just lose sight of what God has done in our lives. Trouble. Paul and Silas, they're in prison. Their feet are fast in stocks. That essentially it's a stationary object where their feet are placed and chained down to that object. They're not going anywhere. Likely cannot even stand. Their backs, so beatings. All right, this is one thing that I thought about as I was reading this text. We read the Bible in black and white, and if you have a red-letter Bible, good for you. So you have black and white, but these are pages that you are reading an account. And when you are reading this and they are beaten, all kinds of different things can go through your mind. Let's realize something. These men were severely whipped, their backs opened up, bloodied. Why? Because they had cast out a demon out of a girl? Because they were proclaiming the way of salvation? This city just didn't like them. Wanted to get rid of them. These men were hurting. These men were in pain. These men were suffering, and they were in trouble. These are the kinds of things that we deal with. These are the kinds of things that people around the world are dealing with. These are the kinds of things, the feelings, the fears, the troubles, the beatings, the bleeding in Ukraine. They're dealing with these things. A video was shared with me of a Ukrainian believer. His wife, pregnant, 9 months. And they could hear the bombings and things going off. And he sent his wife off to safety to the western side of the country while he waited for his mother. I just can't imagine what it's like to not know if the roof is going to be over your head in the morning, if you're going to even see the light of day. I cannot even imagine the desperation to know that your government is handing out guns to whoever will take it, just so to fight for their own survival. Trouble. Now we as believers, as followers of the Lord Jesus, God has given to us the answer. God has guided us through the truth of his word to help us navigate trouble. He does not tell us he will remove trouble or remove us from trouble. But he will tell us how to walk through that trouble. He gives us hope. What happens with Paul and Silas? I think a lot of you have read ahead, and that's okay. But just imagine, if you will, being in the present time and being one of the prisoners in the cell next to Paul and Silas. You don't know what's going to happen. There were other prisoners. There was the jailer, who we know must have lived right there or very close enough to at least hear and experience this earthquake to come. But if you're right there and these two men are cast into prison and their feet are in stocks, their backs are bleeding, and you've heard rumors throughout the city that these men were doing things of Judaism and talking about the Most High God, what's going to happen now? Well, you know, very likely they're just going to jump in and complain just like the rest of us, right? Or they may just break down and just weep because they have no hope. And so you're watching on and looking and wondering, this is one of the wonderful blessings of the scriptures, because God gives us real life situations where people just like you and I find themselves in desperate trouble, and then God shows us how he meets them there and how he helps them in those times of trouble. Listen, the church, we have hope. We have answers. we have the opportunity to demonstrate to our fellow prisoners and other cells around us the wondrous grace of God. At midnight, verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Wait a minute. They were in trouble. They were going through intense pain and tribulations and probably asking a lot of questions. God, why? What's going on? You know, we have a tendency to spiritualize these men and just make them. I believe they were truly just human people who dealt with feelings and fears just like us. But the text tells us that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners, what? Heard them. So when we are in times of trouble, one of the examples from scriptures, sing. Pray. And do so, so others can hear you. I know for myself, sometimes I want to keep troubles to myself. I want to spare you. Well, that's a good spiritual answer, right? I want to spare you the trouble. I try to do that even with my wife. Somehow she figures it out. Try to do that with my kids, and I have a feeling they're catching on pretty quick. They prayed. And I believe they prayed so that the prisoners could hear them. What's driving them to prayer? Well, this is part of their DNA as followers of Christ. They're in communication with God. Why is it that when we are in trouble, one of the last things we do is communicate with the very God who upholds us and has saved us? You ever been there? Been in trouble? And then you finally realize, I should pray. I'm working on that. Be in communication with your God. Pray. And then they sing praises. Now, we sing together in our services. And I believe that we need to expand the reasoning of why we do this. It's not just for this time of corporate worship, but it's to put these songs in our hearts, to put these truths in music in our minds, that they go with us. And we can realize God wants to use them. You see, what God does through music is he helps men and women take the truths of God and his word and put them to music. And I really believe music is one of God's precious gifts he's given to the human population, to mankind. Because it does connect with us, and we do remember better. I find it amazing how many songs my children know, and they only listen. They're not reading them. They only listen to other people sing them. And my house is full of music and full of singing. And it's so much fun to just sit back and listen as they're cleaning up the kitchen, hearing their harmonies and hearing them sing praises unto God. You know, music is important. Music is special. And I know some of us, and I'm one of them, that music is not like a forte. I don't connect necessarily with music all the time. But listen, I understand, even from this very text, how important music is. And you know what? I want to have songs in my heart. I like it when I get into, can I even say this? I get in the shower and sing. You know, I don't always do that, but you know what? How cool it is to just sing. Just let it out. And to sing the hymns, great is thy faithfulness. And what is happening there? You're engaging with truth. And the trouble Where's the trouble? Trouble's back there. You're singing praises unto God. You see, Paul and Silas, they prayed and they sang praises. Did the blood dry up on their backs and was there no more pain? No, it was still there. But they prayed and they sang praises unto the Lord. And they did so, again, so the other prisoners could hear them. I love hearing you sing. You know what? I like hearing you sing even outside of this place. You know, there's been times when I'm in the office and some of you come to clean and I can hear you sing or whistle. Love it. It's a blessing. What about people that we interact with around us, the prisoners in the cells next to us, right? The people at work. You walk down the hall, their doors are open, and you're singing, you're whistling. What does this do? This is opening up opportunities, opening up doors. Trouble everywhere. But God has overcome the world. Pray. Engage with your God. Communicate with Him. Sing praises so that others might hear. What happens here in Philippi, these men, Paul and Silas, in prison, they're praying, they're singing praises unto God. It is midnight, the dead of night, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Trouble. An earthquake. Anybody been through an earthquake? A few of you. Okay. I don't want to ever have to go through that. The details are not necessarily given as to the extent of this earthquake. Was it felt by the whole city, or was this an isolated supernatural event that just took place? But anyway, God knew all about it. God had it all orchestrated. Paul and Silas were where they needed to be. The plates shifted at just the right spot and the right time. And the prison shook. Trouble. You go through an earthquake, your immediate thought is, oh yes, I'm getting out of here. You're going through an earthquake thinking, I'm done. But what God has done is even through this natural event, He loosed them. He set them free. Trouble. And yet what God did was set them free. Does God always set us free from troubles? No. Well, we got to be careful to recognize that. But when He does, realize He's got a plan for you. He wants to use you for more. You see, what happened next is this jailer, the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, verse 27, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and he would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice saying, "Don't hurt yourself. We're all here." So the jailer called for a light and sprang in. I love the text, giving you the picture of just, you are all here. And he, look at what it says. And he fell down before Paul and Silas. He brought them out in verse 30. And he said this, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, how did he know to ask that question? Where did that come from? Was the jailer in trouble? Why would he want to kill himself? Roman law. you let your prisoners escape, you're dead. Oh, yeah. Earthquake. Oh, well. You better figure out how to keep your prisoners secure. We don't know how much the jailer heard of the praying and the singing. That's not given here. That's not, we are not told. But we do know that Paul and Silas did do that, and that the other prisoners heard. And we also know that Paul and Silas went throughout the city, and they had this announcement trailing them. These men are the servants of the Most High God, which showed unto which show unto us the way of salvation. Somehow, this man knew and understood. These men had the answer, the key to salvation. Well, he asked the question in verse 31, and they said, Paul and Silas said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and your house. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he, the jailer, took them that same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, and he and all his straightway. And when they had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. What a turn of events. Trouble, trouble, trouble. You know, church, we get so consumed with trouble. It's all we see on our screen. It's all we hear about in our headphones. Trouble. Trouble, trouble. Today, God wants to help us in some ways. This is not the exhaustive study of what to do with trouble. But in this small little example, we see Paul and Silas in a time of great trouble, and they pray, and they sing praises, and they do so so that others can hear them too. You know, in times of trouble, we so often can lose the vision that God has called us to reach the world with the gospel. We lose the vision of reaching out because we get so consumed with reaching in. Paul and Silas, praying out loud, had to know and understand that others were listening and know the power of their words and of their praises. To what degree, they didn't know. Did they know the earthquake was coming? No, they didn't. Did they know this jailer and his household would come to faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, be baptized and feed them and take care of them? No, they didn't know all of that. But what they did know was that God had called them to Philippi. And that Philippi was a place that they needed to minister God's truth. And so they did so with the platform that God gave them. They prayed and they sang. At the beginning of our service, we read Romans chapter 5. And I want to take us to that chapter one more time. As you're turning there, I want to remind you of what Jesus told his disciples that night he was betrayed. He told them, behold, the hour comes. Yea, is now come, that you should be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, put down on parchment these words in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, when you are in times of trouble, do not overlook what God has given to you, a peace with God. Wow. Peace with God. You know, this is the God who created the world. This is the God who has made the promise that through Him and through His work, men and women could be saved and know forgiveness of sin. This is the God of that Jewish nation who came out of Egypt after incredible miraculous works of God. This is the God who's parted that Red Sea so that His people could come across, but brought it back over when the enemy was in the midst. This is the God who had water come out of a stone. This is the God who came and dwelt amongst His people in a place, in a tabernacle, where there was a Shekinah glory, a light so bright you could not look at it. This was a God who upheld King David and gave him the privilege of understanding that he could be washed and cleansed whiter than snow even after he committed adultery. This is the God who ministered to Daniel. They communed together regularly, and in that lion's den, God shut the lion's mouths. And you can have peace with God. Don't forget, in the times of trouble, that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Grace. Not only do you have peace with God, but you have grace that you have been granted. You know what grace is? Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is a gift. Grace is what that which you have been given that you do not deserve. And you know what? In times of trouble, yes, we may feel like we need that glass of water to help us with our thirst, or a meal to help us with our hunger. But you know what? So often we struggle with the most is our own mind and our own heart and our own fears. And what God has done through the nourishment of His Word, as He has shown us, pray, sing praises. He is telling us you can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in that, believer. You have grace. God has shown you grace, and you stand in that grace. Not only peace with God, not only grace from God, but you have rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. My father-in-law was recently in the hospital, and he was in the hospital for about 2 weeks. This really rocked his world as he was struggling to breathe. He lost a lot of weight. But something happened just a few weeks before that prompted his pastor to mention in one of his sermons, get this, Romans chapter 5, the verses we're reading today. And you know what was in his mind while he was in the hospital? Do you know what passage? I think he read it every day, he told me. Romans chapter 5. And I can't tell you how many times that I have talked with him since and while he was in the hospital that he would mention to me, read Romans chapter 5. You see, the Word of God ministers to the heart of His people. You see, God has given it to us with a purpose and a reason, and do not ignore it. You have peace with God, you have grace from God, and you have a hope of the glory of God. Rejoice in it. You know what hope is, right? Hope is that steadfastness of looking ahead, the surety of things to come. Yes, there is a future for me in Christ. Whether it is here or there, I've got a future secure in Christ. Well, the passage continues, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. What? Trouble, trouble, trouble. Tribulations. Knowing that tribulations work what? Patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Notice he makes much of hope, because he realizes there will be trouble in our world. And he provides that progression, knowing that tribulation and trouble works the patience in us. And that patience gives us this experience, and this experience, hope. So not only do we have a peace with God and grace from God and a hope of the glory of God, but there's the love of God. And the love of God is that which nourishes the hope of God, the hope that we have in God, because we know that God has loved us. And that love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Let's not be consumed with trouble. Let us enjoy our God and communicate with Him in prayer. Let us sing praises unto Him, and let us remember the wondrous peace that we have with Him through Jesus Christ, the wondrous grace that has been shown to us, to me, a sinner. The hope, even in the midst of tribulation, knowing God, we end up with hope. Why? Because we know He's loved us. And dear church, this is your blessing. This is your precious treasure that you hold as a follower of Jesus. And so no matter the trouble, because the troubles will come no matter what they are, you have answers. You are not without hope. And you stand as a beacon of light that those in the prison cells next to you, when they hear you, they too will be touched by the light of the gospel that shines out of you and that they hear coming out of your mouth. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together right now. And I know in the bulletin it said we were supposed to do the Lord's Supper before I preached. But I decided, let's go into it with this message on our minds, because I believe we have much to celebrate today. No matter the trouble, we have been redeemed. We've got to prepare our hearts now as we celebrate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you for the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the deacons to come forward as they help, as you help me to serve. We are celebrating the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is something that the Lord has instructed us to do regularly. Why? Because we're forgetful people. I'm so glad you're here today. And God is going to remind us through this time, through the bread and through the fruit of the vine, His body and His blood. As we spend this time together, there will be times of silence and times of, as the music is just playing and the elements are handed out. Oh, I encourage you, spend time in the scriptures, asking God, God, refresh me and encourage my heart. enjoy the wondrous truths as you meditate on the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. Pray and asking God to show in your heart any sin that you're harboring there. And deal with that sin before God. Be serious about sin in your life, about eradicating that and resting in the forgiveness that God gives. Heavenly Father, it is a blessing to celebrate you. And Lord, we hand out the crackers that represent, Lord, certainly the bread that you broke that night with your disciples. And Lord, you broke that bread in front of them and told them that this represents your body, which is broken for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to this earth. You took upon yourself the form of a body. You had skin. You ate. You had blood coursing through your veins. You spoke. You were hungry. You were tired. You slept. You were truly here. And God, yet that body was broken open. Not because of anything you did that was wrong, but because of everything you were doing that was right. And we as a people, we just could not understand and couldn't take your righteousness. It was too much. God, thank you for coming. Amen.